The fearless pursuit of the truth. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Welcome back here on the Steve Gruber Show. I am Jeff Wiggins, filling in for Steve Gruber. Still having fun, though. We don't need Steve to have a good time. We can make our own fun. Joining us to help make some of that fun is Senior Policy Director with the Conservative Partnership, Rachel Bouvard. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, wasn't too much fun for the Republicans last Tuesday with the elections coming in. Last Tuesday. And they saw some losses, but we were told it was going to be this gigantic, big, beautiful blue tsunami for the Democrats. Election results aren't necessarily playing out that way. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from this year's midterm is there was no blue wave. It looks like Republicans are going to lose between, 30, 35 seats in the House, and that is pretty much exactly in line with historical trends. The president's party usually loses about that many seats in its first midterm. And couple that with actually a pickup of two or three, depending on how Florida turns out, in the Senate. And it's pretty, decent turnaround for the Republicans. Unfortunate loss in the House, but they don't have to keep on trucking. But yeah, the blue wave did not materialize. It was more like a blue ripple.
Right. And like you said, I mean, this is something we come to expect in the first election, the midterm of the first term of a new president. I mean, we saw it, obviously, Bill Clinton experienced a similar trend. In fact, it was a lot worse for Bill Clinton. President Obama experienced this in 2010. It was one of the biggest waves in history. And now you have the Republicans, yes, losing control of the House of Representatives. It was a slim margin to begin with, but gaining seats in the United States Senate. And, you look back on history, like you said, That doesn't happen. You saw, it's anywhere from 3, 5 to even 8 or 9 Senate seats have been lost in the past. And here you have the president and his party gaining seats. Now, that's not to say they missed the boat. Our guest coming on before you was Marie Fishpaw with the Heritage Foundation saying Republicans missed the boat on talking about health care. They missed the messaging on that. What are you seeing was the good messaging points for the Republicans? What did they hit on that really allowed them to make this not so much a blue wave, but as you put it, a blue ripple?
Well, I think, healthcare was a big problem for them, right? I think that they gave Democrats that talking point by refusing or just failing to address Obamacare at all. I do think where Republicans, their message did resonate with people was border security, a lot of the economy. Generally, polls show that people trust Republicans more with those issues. But I think in the Senate in particular, the Kavanaugh issue was huge for Senate Republicans. It really electrified the base, and a lot of people came out because of the complete lunacy they saw from Democrats on Kavanaugh. And you saw the Kavanaugh vote, I think, play a direct role in the losses of Heidi Heitkamp in Missouri. Joe Donnelly in Indiana, both of whom voted against Kavanaugh, and they were in red states, and they went down in large part because of that.
Well, yeah, and I think everybody was energized by the Kavanaugh hearings, both on the left and the right. But what you would have had you not had the theatrics that we saw in those Senate committee hearings, as several senators were apparently practicing their Iowa stump speeches in these hearings. It was such a great place to do that there in the U.S. Senate. Get all the time you want to test your messaging. But they riled up the Republicans. And going into this election, other than President Trump, there wasn't as much enthusiasm there. And
I think that's right. And you finally saw Republicans match the intensity of the president. But you didn't see them fight for anything like they did for Kavanaugh in the full 2 years. And that's interesting because look what happened when they fought once. Imagine what would have happened if they had fought like that on other issues.
Yeah, it took, I never thought I would see the day, but you had people, hard and true conservatives, praising Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham 2.0 is their hero now. I mean, the memes and the GIFs on Facebook and Twitter. Who would have thought Lindsey Graham was going to be the face of the opposition and the defense of the conservative justice movement?
It's potentially one of Trump's biggest accomplishments is turning Lindsey Graham into a conservative. We'll have to see if it lasts.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Washington's a place where people evolve. We've seen that time and time again. Lindsey Graham is the latest example of that. Now, before we end up here, now here's the big concern I think among the base, among Republicans, and it's this idea that impeachment is essentially going to weigh down the next 2 years as we lead up to the 2020 election. Do you see that happening?
You know, I do think it's something Democrats are considering, but I do think it has a strong potential to backfire on them. Just what happened to Republicans in the 90s when they overreached on impeachment with Bill Clinton. They ended up losing the House because of it. At the end of the day, you know, voters want to see a robust legislative agenda. They don't want to see, you know, constant partisan bickering and investigations that go nowhere and impeachment that will go nowhere because the House may successfully report out in impeachment papers, but the Senate is not going to ever act on them. So it's going to be a moot point, essentially, if they'll be able to impeach Trump, and I think it would be a giant waste of time.
Well, I think it's good. It might essentially play out the way the Kavanaugh hearings played out. I think if you go forward with impeachment, you're just going to rile up the Republican base at a time when they're going to, those people that normally don't vote, that made it out to the ballot box in 2016, you're going to rile them up again with President Trump at the top of the ticket. But we'll see what happens in this Democratic-led House of Representatives. We all know that Nancy Pelosi is the leader on bipartisan policy changes, but we'll see how that goes. Rachel Bouvard with the Conservative Partnership. She's Senior Policy Director there. Greatly appreciate you joining us. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take a short break here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back. I'm Jeff Wiggins. I think you're gonna like
it. Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.